So let me start this off with a question. How many of you have ever wanted to see the Grand Canyon?
I have a picture of it, yeah.
Me too.
Oh, there's our series title, okay? There it is. That's a beautiful picture, okay? How many of you have ever gone? Oh, braggers. Okay, all right. How many of you would love to be debt-free and have a big amount in your savings? Okay. How many of you do? Pay attention to those people. All right, Casey, we're coming in you, all right. How many of you want to get healthy, maybe shed some pounds, build some muscle, eat the right stuff? Okay. How many of you do that all the time? Cameron, good. All right, good. I don't know if Burger King believes that, but okay. How many of you would like to reconcile with somebody that you've had kind of a bump in the road with or you've been estranged with? How many of you are currently in the steps of doing that right now? Okay. How many of you would like some extra money in your pocket?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I have some money here. Would anyone want it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
What?
Here. Patty, don't trample over your children. Thank you, Deli. Here you go. Now the millions are coming. Go. All right. Don't worry about where I got them from, honey. How many of you now have some extra money in your pockets? Why? Because you got up, right? You got up out of your seat and I gave you some cash. So you made something happen just now by getting up, walking through the millions of people here at Northside Community Church, 7335 Northwestern Avenue, right? Our series for the rest of the summer is Get Up. And many of you don't know this, but Get Up was the runner-up to Nike's campaign Just Do It. Came in second. They were like, we're going to go with Just Get Up, or we're going to do it with Just Do It. I mean, Get Up shows action on our part, right? There's ownership. There's some movement. Get Up sounds much better than Adidas's theme of Just Stay Seated. You didn't know they did that one, did you? Or North Face went with Don't Move, right? Or Under Armour did Sit Down. All right, those don't sound very good. Because our goal this summer is we get up and we use the power of God given to us through the Holy Spirit to make some changes. We make some changes. Get up and claim what God can do in our lives, right? Get up and shake off whatever strongholds or addictions that you have in your life. Get rid of them, right? This series is an action series. This isn't sit in your seat and learn some good Christianese and learn some Bible stories. It's action. Matter of fact, if they make this series into a movie, all right, because there's already talk of it, Vin Diesel's playing Bucky and Angelina Jolie's playing me, all right, in the action series things, all right? So this is what we need to do. We need to stretch out our limbs. We need to shake out our legs because this summer we're going action. And you guys are the starring role in this because it's about you and your relationship with God. That's exciting, right? And we're going to use Christ's power to change every area in our life that needs changed. All right, let's get to our scripture for today. Our scripture today is from John 5, 1 through 12. Let's go. It says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. Now, for those of you who are curious, there's going to be one word in this sentence that bothers you. Afterward. You need to know what happened beforehand, because right now we're saying afterward, and that's good. And some of you are like, I don't need to know. I'm hungry. You know, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to, let's appease the curious people, all right? This is for you, honey, all right? Here we go. Let's accuse the curious people. So first off, this is what you need to know. We're in the book of John. Book of John is one of the Gospels that's different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's just different. Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of covers 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry and talks about his birth and everything. John really kind of covers like 22 days of Jesus' life. It's more condensed. It's more purposeful on that. So according to the Gospel of John, if we just go back one chapter, let's see what Jesus was doing to get to the point of afterward. So we learn he left Judea and returned to Galilee. So he's traveling quite a bit. Our Jesus is on his feet and he's moving around town. Next part. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Little bit of a trivia here. The Jews did not like the Samaritans. They thought they were a little above them. So Jesus is cutting through Samaria. He's cutting through a different part of town. And he meets up with a Samaritan woman. So not only is he talking to a Samaritan, he's talking to a Samaritan woman that was frowned upon back in that time. But Northside's not like that with women. Right, Northside?
Right.
All right. So here we go. Here's our next verse. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Told you so there. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" So during this time, Jesus reveals himself to be the Messiah to her by telling her all the things that she's done in her life. And she's like, "You have to be the Messiah, because this is just too much that you know all this stuff." Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe," because the woman went and told everybody in the town, "not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." So that happened beforehand. But wait, there's more, because Jesus is a very busy guy. And he traveled through Galilee. He came to Cana, where he had turned the water to wine. That had happened prior. And then he comes upon a dad who has a dying daughter. His daughter's dying. He comes up to Jesus, tells him about his daughter who's dying. Jesus says she's going to be made well. He's traveling back home to see her. Someone comes up to her and says, your son's alive. It was a son. Then the father realized that this was the very time Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." Just the same time Jesus had told him, "Your son's going to live." This guy says, "It's the exact same time that your son came back to life and he had full health and his entire household believed in Jesus." So that's what Jesus was doing before we get to John 5. So now he enters Jerusalem. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate, around Jerusalem, there's a bunch of different gates that have different names that enter into the center of the city. Was a pool Bethesda with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. Now, here's the deal with the pool of Bethesda, okay? It looked better back then. Okay, this is a current picture of where they believe the site is. Okay, there was an idea that what happened with this pool is that from underground aqueducts, water would come up and would stir the water every so often. It just happened that way. Water would come from the north, come in, and it would cause some bubblings in the water. But somehow it became a tradition that people thought angels were producing the bubbles. I don't know, maybe with straws, who knows, all right? But bubbles were coming. And it became a tradition that people thought when the bubbles came, if you were the first person to jump into the pool, you would be healed. It was a very exciting tradition for those who needed healing, obviously, right? But John, he doesn't go into much details of all about that was a tradition, and it never says anywhere in the scriptures that God brought healing through this pool of water. But John kind of speculates or tells us that people were lined up there to get into the first bubbling when the water comes in. But can you picture this scene? I mean, I was thinking about this week. All these people who are literally dying to be healed, okay? They are craving healing. And they're going to be laying around this pool waiting for the first bubblings, right? Waiting for the first bubblings because they believe if they are the first person to get into the water when the bubblings occur, they will be healed. And these are people who are destitute. These are the people in such need of healing to change their whole lives. Have you ever played the game Slapjack? Yeah, this is what I think about. I don't like the game of Slapjack because it stresses me out. John, come on up. All right? Okay, come on up. Welcome home. Come on up, okay? All right? This is how the Slapjack works. Cards are shot. This gives me like an ulcer every time I play, right? And okay, it's very tough. I want you to get this. So every time a jack comes up, you slap it down. And if you're the first person to slap it down, you get the whole pile of cards, okay? There's a dollar list to win, okay? Big money. All right, here we go. Keep your hand down. Not the Joker. See that? Let's keep going because I want another visual of their loudness. I don't know where the jets are. That's the queen where I went to school. That's still the queen. That's a jack. See, John would have won a good game, all right? You see the intensity of that? It's like nerve-wracking. I gotta wait for the first bubblings. And then even what if I'm paralyzed? What if I can't move my legs? How do you get into the first bubblings? That causes me a lot of anxiety. Okay, that just thinking about that, because what are your chances of being healed? Waiting for the first bubbles to stir? And it wasn't like it was on like, oh, it hits midnight, it bubbles. It could have been any time that the water happens to flow in. All right. It sounds horrible to me. There. Oh, there's a current picture. John 5:5. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time. How many of you have ever broken a leg, a foot, or anything like that? I have. I've broken my foot 4 times. Have you ever been on crutches? It stinks to be on crutches one day, much less a month, less than 38 days or 38 years. And they didn't. I don't think they had crutches like we have nowadays, right? Maybe they had a stick they pulled, or maybe he couldn't move at all and he just had to be pushed around. Maybe he had to scoot on his tushy to get somewhere. Maybe he had to be dragged around from spot to spot to get food or to go to the bathroom or to have some type of shelter from the sun or from the rain, right? Unable to get up for 38 years. I'm 40 years old. That would be 95% of my life. Unable to get up. Teens, think of that class you have in school that is oh so boring, or think of that sermon every other week that's oh so boring, right? And it's 45 minutes long, but it feels like an eternity, right? You're like, I can't even believe that this class is taking so long and it's only been 45 minutes. Multiply that 45-minute class by 444,134. That's how long he's been suffering. Adults or teens or kids, think about that time in your life, maybe it was a month, a patch of your life that you're like, I never want to go through that month again. Everything horrible that could have happened happened during that time. I was so stressed out. I was so freaked out. Maybe your marriage was in shambles. Maybe your kids were acting out. Maybe you didn't know where you were going to live. You're being put out of your home. Whatever it is, that month of time, let's just call it a month, that was horrible. Multiply that month, my husband helped me do the math here, by 456, all right? We're talking 38 years of suffering. I don't know if the guy was by the pool for 38 years, but he's been suffering for 38 years. That's a long time. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time. I love that nothing gets past Jesus. I love that so much. He sees him and he knows exactly how long the man has suffered. To the second, he knows his suffering. He knows how long he's tried to get in the angelic bubbling water. He knows how many times he's tried. He knows the man's thoughts, his fears, and his anxieties for the future. Jesus knew exactly the situation that the man was in, because Jesus knows all situations. Jesus is all-knowing. So whatever you're sitting in right now, he knows it. He knows it even better than you know, because he knows all the players and he knows all that's going on. You know, and I find so much peace in that. I find so much peace that he knows, because I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're going through a crisis, you think nobody gets how I'm feeling. Nobody understands the weight on my shoulders. Nobody understands my anxieties for the future, but he does, and he gets it, and he sees that. And he knows your weaknesses about it, and he knows your fears about it, and he knows even your temper tantrums that you might have about it. He knows. He gets it. So Jesus knows this man's been lame for 38 years. But he asked the obvious. He asked him, would you like to get well? Now the Living Translation of the Bible translates it, get well, but the original text was made whole. Would you like to be made whole? It's more than just walk again. Would you like to walk again? Would you like to be made whole? I mean, Jesus loves to heal people physically, but he really likes to heal people spiritually too. He likes the whole package. This guy needs physical healing, but he also needs some spiritual healing too. So Jesus asked him, would you like to be made whole? Would you like to get well? And I'm surprised that this guy doesn't throw a sarcasm bomb at Jesus. All right, really? Would you like to get well? No. I love laying around here all day. I love they haven't walked for 38 years. Or, no, thank you, Mr. Obvious. I prefer not to be healed. Right? It's such an obvious question. And I would be, honestly, I put myself in this situation. You don't know this yet, but spoiler, he doesn't know this is Jesus. Guy walks up, you want to be made well? Yeah, I do. You know, it's like, get away from me. Why are you rubbing it in? Are you making me feel worse than I already feel? But the guy doesn't respond this way, okay? I find that interesting, and maybe it's my own human nature, but he kindly and seriously answers. When Jesus saw him and knew that he'd been, would you like to get well? Get well, that's for you needed to say. I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. There's the tradition. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Of course, slapjack, right? They want to be healed. They're going to jump in as soon as the bubbles come. I can't do it. I believe those first bubbles are gonna heal me. I believe that, but I can't get up to get in the water. I've tried. You know, maybe he's rolled himself towards that way. Maybe he's trying to get to the front row so he can just tilt her in as soon as he sees those bubbles come. But right now, the guy probably feels it's pretty bleak. I can't. There's so many sick people around, and maybe this guy just has a cold, but he can run and jump in the water, you know? I can't get into the water. I can't. And then Jesus says, And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Okay, seriously, he does not know this is Jesus. So now the guy says, you want to get better? And then the guy says, well, why don't you get up? Oh, I never thought of that. Stand up. Yeah, that will work. Right, he tells him that. And I would probably be swatting at the man, like, get away from me. Of course I tried to stand up before. It's been 38 years. And I want you to think about this, too, because I know I'm going to have a lot of comparisons to my dad over the next several months and years. But my dad, when he was in bed, he didn't get up out of the hospital bed for 2 weeks before he started to walk. My dad, for the past, like, 30 years, has ran or walked 3 miles a day. So my dad has been in very good shape. When my dad was lying there in the hospital bed for 2 weeks, his legs were so frail. Just 2 weeks laying in that bed. All his muscle tone was gone in his legs. They were like skinny, but they were flabby. And he's always had these very strong, because he's an iron worker, climbing legs. And they were like hard to even believe that those were my dad's legs. And when my dad got up to try to take a first step, he was so weak. He was so exhausted. His legs had no tone, no muscle. Think about this guy's legs. 38 years, no moving, right? No moving at all. That's 1,974 more weeks than my dad was laying in that bed. That is weak, that his legs are weak. But the next verse says, he accepts the advice instantly. The man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Instantly was healed. I mean, the scriptures doesn't say like a dramatic Oscar moment. He pushed himself up and he tumbled and then he tried again and then he stumbled, kind of like the Willy Wonka grandpa coming out of the bed and stumbles and he gets up and he walks. Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says 38 years, this guy's legs aren't moving. He gets up, he walks. Miracle. Picks up his sleeping mat and begins walking. That's unbelievable power of God. That's just not old school power of God. That's today's school power of God. That's the power of God. Stand up. I see you've been down for a long time. Stand up. Roll up your mat. You're not going to need that anymore here by the pool. Roll up your mat. Take it with you. Start walking. Get up. Now, I wish that this next sentence of scripture said, and the religious leaders saw that the man was healed, and they jumped up, and they praised God, and they did one of those slow claps, you know, that you see in movies, and they were all like high-fiving each other. I don't know if they did that back then, but they were celebrating, and they were so excited that this guy had been healed by the power of God, but that's not the case. The next scripture is such a downer, but here it goes. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, the day of rest. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. You can't make this stuff up. It's there in the Bible. How did they miss it? How did they miss God's power to heal a man who's been down for 38 years, who gets up, who can walk, who has a chance at life, has a chance of having a family. He has a chance of going to the bathroom in a normal spot. He has a chance of actually working for food and eating the food and going into a home and sleeping, maybe finding love. I don't know. The man has a chance at life. You can't work on the Sabbath. Can't carry that mat around, man who's been laying at the pool for 38 years. Now, the Old Testament's not that specific, that you can't carry your sleeping mat on the Sabbath day. But the Old Testament law and the Pharisees loved to grab things and utilize it for their benefit. It was forbidden to carry an object from one place to another on the Sabbath. So that's where they carried out, he's got a sleeping mat and he's carrying on the Sabbath. But let's see what the man says. So they ask him about it. But he replied, the man who healed me, because he doesn't know it's Jesus, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. I find Jesus so tricky here. You know, I always feel like he was kind of being a, we don't know this, and I'm taking it out of my own interpretation, right? But I almost feel like Jesus told them to pick up the mat so it would draw attention, so that the Pharisees would draw attention to be like, who healed you and what happened? Because that's just kind of who Jesus is. He was really a rebel. He really was in many, many ways. So Jesus, I think, gives an opportunity for the Pharisees to make a point out of this, right? Maybe he was messing with them. I don't know. Maybe he was so compassionate knowing this man's poor, and he's going to need a sleeping mat. You know, if he leaves it there by the pool, someone else is going to take it up and scoop it up, and he wouldn't have a mat to sleep on. He has nothing, right? So the Pharisees said, "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. Verse 14, but afterward, there's that word again, but you know what just happened. Jesus found him in the temple. After healing the man, Jesus went to the temple and found the man. Of course, Jesus knew he was there because Jesus is all-knowing. The man didn't know who Jesus was, but obviously the man knew that the power of God saved him and healed him, right? Because why would he go to the temple? He's going to the temple to give thanks. He knows, he doesn't know that that was Jesus. He doesn't know that was the Son of God at this point, but he knows that a miracle occurred, and it wasn't the angelic bubbling water. It was God that gave him back his life. So he goes to the temple to give thanks. Jesus finds him there. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well. Stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Now, what is that all about? Because it just sounds a little off, doesn't it? Now, remember what the well word means. It means made whole. Now you are made whole. You wanted to be made well, but now you are made whole. Stop sinning. Your life has been changed. You have been spiritually healed. You recognize who I am. You recognize my power, the power of God. You have been made whole. Now, some Bible scholars believe it. You know, I don't get. You know me. I don't get into a lot of debates with Bible scholars because this is not what our church is about. Our church is about the mission of Jesus Christ and people finding Jesus and having their lives changed. But some Bible scholars kind of argue like maybe the guy, when he 38 years ago was sinning, and that's how he became paralyzed. Maybe that was it, and now he's saying, "Hey, learned your lesson, don't do it again," kind of thing. I don't get that. I don't feel that way. Maybe you do. I really think it's going back to you want to be made whole, not just physically. You want to be made right with your Savior. You want to be made right with God. Because here's the deal. Being lame for 38 years is horrible. I wouldn't want it, and I can't even imagine what he went through, but being eternally separated from God is worse. It is. You can think life on earth is so hard and so complicated, and you can't believe, and you're just thrown in the towel. That is so much better than a life eternally separated from God. It is. And Jesus came to save sinners. Yeah, he did a lot of healing that was amazing, and it showed and proved to us that he was the Son of God. But he came to make people right with God. So the man was to stand up and sin no more. It's time to live again. It's time to live righteously. It's time to live with a different purpose. It's time to do it through the power of God. There we go. Jude 1:25 says, "All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our glory, majesty, power, authority are his before all time, in the present and beyond all time. Amen." You know, after this man, I left out this verse for some reason, but after the man was healed, after he was in the temple and after he realized it was Jesus that healed him, he went back and told the Pharisees, "It was Jesus who healed me." I don't think he was going back to be like, "Oh, I got the answer to your question." I think he was going back to give testimony to, "Hey, this guy is the Son of God, and it is through him that we have power." So what do you and I need to know? I mean, seriously, that's a great story in the Bible, but this series is an action series about you and me and our Lord. What do we need to know? The first thing we need to know is that Christ has power. He has power. That same healing he did back in the New Testament, the same healings he did all through the Gospels, is the same power he has today. He's not limitless now. He's not limited now. He has the same power. The same power. And it's the same power that you and I are able to utilize. But here's the thing, you've got to get up. I mean, he's full of power. It's for the taking. But you have to get up. I mean, what if the lame man never got up? What happens if you just swatted that guy away? Like, I don't need to prove to you I can't walk and not stand up. What happens if he never got up? What if he never took the physical step to do and ask what Jesus, he knows now, asked him to do? You know? And I got to believe, a side note that I got to believe, because this man wasn't just going to go stand up for anyone. I got to believe that the Spirit connected with him, that he knew that this is something from God. Because why would he even do that? 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, although he was crucified in weakness, he now lives by the power of God. We too are weak, just as Christ was. But when we deal with you, we will be alive with him, and we will have God's power. You are not going to get up and out of your situation, whatever it is, unless you get up. You're not. Those of you, you know, bragging about your dollar bills, right? You got up. God has the power to do amazing things through you. Unbelievable, amazing things through you. But you got to get up to utilize it. So my question is, do you believe God can get your, can give you the strength to get through this time in your life? You got to get up, right? Can't just sit there. Do you believe that God will give you the strength to run from sin? You got to get up. Do you believe that God can give you the power to live a healthy life? You got to get up. Do you believe God can heal your broken heart? Got to get up. Do you believe God can reconcile that relationship that is really hurting? You got to get up. But how do you do it? I mean, what's the first steps in doing it? Because I don't want to just tell you to get up and then you'd be like, oh, you're all excited. Get up out of your chair. You get up and go outside the church. You're like, I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do. Right? The very first thing you need to do is you need to pray and you need to commit to Jesus that you're willing to get up. You need to tell him, I am with you. I am grabbing your power. I am taking it because you promised it to me. And I am using that power to get up. But I can't do it on my own, and I'm obviously using your stuff, Jesus, so let's go to it. Let's get up. The next thing you need to do is actually get up. And that may look different for everybody. Some of you, you know it's a phone call that you need to make. For some of you, know it's a support group that you need to seek out. Some of you know you need to seek some wise counsel in an area in your life. Some of you know you need to just ask for help. Some of you know that you need to get into God's Word and you need to soak up every bit of things on that subject so the power of God's Word fills you up. Some of you know that you need to find an accountability partner that slaps your hand every time you have more than one cookie, you know? Some of you need to just start living like you conquered it because you keep stumbling back into your weakness and forgetting that you are a conqueror. God has the power. I mean, that's certain. That's it. There's no question about it, right? And if you are his child through believing in Jesus Christ, you have that power too. But it's up to you to get up. In closing, Hebrews 13, 20 through 22 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant, eternal promise with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he equip you for all you need to do to get up to do his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ everything that is pleasing to him. And all glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Church Action Series. We're getting up.